Hello and welcome to the Central Fellowship Hour. The Central Fellowship Hour comes to you from the sanctuary of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. Stay with us on today's program for uplifting music and a message from the Word of God. In just a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Rodney Queen, Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship. Central Fellowship is a Bible-believing assembly committed to solid growth, celebrative worship, responsible stewardship, and effective prayer. To learn more about this exciting church, visit the website at centralfellowship.org. That's www.centralfellowship.org. And now, here's Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship, Dr. Rodney Queen.
Look at some scripture in just a few minutes. But I want us to understand the gravity of this day. This is a special day. Ever since of the happenings on Friday here on our campus, I've been thinking about I could have been at the funeral home last night, and I could have several little funerals lined up for today. I want to praise God, and I want to rejoice, and I do praise God and rejoice. But the Lord has just pulled me back down to reality that we could be in a tragic state of mourning this morning. We have a thank you card here. Emily, where is Emily? Okay. We'll stand up with her just for a second. Dear Central Fellowship family, I want to thank everybody who came by to see Emily while she was in the hospital. She loved the balloons and the teddy bear. I also want to thank the people who were on the scene of the accident and helped Emily when we could not. Emily wants to thank Shonda, Janice, Mr. Franklin, and her favorites, Stephen and Amanda, as they came by to see her. And as she called it, they brought her a little special bunny. Thanks once again. We love every one of you, the Johnston and the Stevenson's family. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, the Johnston and Stevenson family, we got a lot to be thankful for this morning, don't we? Take just a moment and look at the three television stations in Macon that covered this situation.
Seven kindergartners and one adult are injured in a playground accident. It happened around noon today at the Central Fellowship Christian Academy. School officials say the children were playing on an inflatable playground when a whirlwind flipped the playground over, throwing the kids to the ground.
Like the whirlwind had eyes and headed directly toward the first blow-up game, which was a slide. And instead of just blowing it, it actually just had lift to it and lifted it and even though the gangs were staked down as normal, like they do, just with that lift, just lifted it up.
Hospital officials tell us six children and one adult were treated at the medical center for minor injuries. One child was hospitalized with a broken arm and concussion.
A playground accident sent six students and one adult to the hospital. Central Fellowship Christian Academy kindergarten students were playing outside celebrating a week of service when a gust of wind blew over an inflatable slide. The students were taken to the medical center for treatment, one with a possible concussion. Others are in good condition. Administrators say they do this every year, and nothing like this has ever happened before.
WMAZ Eyewitness News at 6.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Frank Malloy. This is Eyewitness News at 6. Several small children are recovering from injuries tonight after a day of fun turned to terror at one Central Georgia school. It happened at Central Fellowship Christian Academy on Highway 247 in Macon. Candace Raymond joins us in our Warner Robins newsroom with the details of what happened outside the school. It was supposed to be a fun day, Candace.
I know, Frank. Emergency workers took seven children to the hospital after they were thrown off an inflatable slide. According to a hospital spokeswoman, only one got an injury that was bad enough to require hospitalization. But the children are just 5 years old, and witnesses say the weather is to blame for what happened. School workers say a whirlwind tore through this field, turning their day upside down.
A small, I guess it's a tornado, picked up everything. Five inflatables. These are heavy these inflatables weigh, 800 pounds, 800 pounds wide. But it picked it up from that building and carried it in the air all the way to this fence. That's about the length of two football fields, probably 200 yards.
This is the now deflated slide that threw a handful of five-year-olds into the air before hitting the ground. The kindergartners were out here to have fun.
This is the culmination of our Servathon week, where all the students have gone out all week serving in the community on base, nursing homes, fire stations, shut-ins, and we have kind of a thank you celebration for them at the end of the week, where we have a cookout and some of the blow-up games out here on the field. We've done this for several years.
Nobody ever imagined the children getting hurt.
This is a severe tragedy. We're just praying as hard as we can for the kids and, you know, hope everybody's going to be all right. Our thoughts and prayers are with the parents.
The woman you heard from in that story owns Kathy's Rock Incorporated. That is the company the school rented the inflatable equipment from today. Kathy says she wasn't concerned about the wind when they set up the slide, and all of the equipment was staked to the ground. She adds, in her 10 years of business, nothing like this has ever happened.
All right, thank you, Candace. Jeannie Poolnut is the spokeswoman for the Medical Center of Central Georgia. That is where emergency workers took the children and the one adult that were hurt. Poolnut says only one of the children has been admitted to the medical center. The other five children and the adult were treated and released. A whirlwind-type wind is being blamed for that accident at Central Fellowship Christian Academy. Well, what causes that type of wind, and just how common is it? For that, we go to Chief Meteorologist Ben Jones, who's live at Macon's downtown airport. Ben.
Now, I tell you, Frank, the bad thing is there's really hardly an explanation for this. If you really want to look at it for like a whirlwind or a dust devil, as we call it, that's usually something you would see in the summertime, in the deep, hot summer months when the surface actually gets hotter than the air above it. So the air would rise, you would get convection going on, and you would start to get a spin like a column of air. You see it a lot of times, it'll pick up leaves and swirl across the parking lot. What it'll do is it'll jump to other pockets of air that's rising and kind of dance around. So it's got a very sporadic movement to it. Thing is, I called the National Weather Service, and I'm thinking, now that's kind of a summertime event. And you see it a lot out in the plains, too. And they said, yeah. I said, well, here we are in the 50s today, and that's not really a way to explain that. And through all the ways we tried to figure it out, they couldn't really figure an explanation for why it happened. They said they looked at the airport, looking back at some of the observations from the day, saw some wind gusts of over 30 miles an hour at times, but even that shouldn't be enough to pick something like that up. So it'd have to be something along a whirlwind, especially the way people were talking about it, but that's generally something you'd see in the summertime. So still a little bit unexplained. We're still going to look into it some more, though. It's kind of interesting.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot. Of course, we'll be checking back with you a little later in this newscast for our weekend weather.
All right.
I'm going to ask Brother Truitt to come and say just a word about what happened. And then there's some of you who were eyewitnesses also that I want to hear from you. And then I've got a short message that I'll share in just a moment. Brother Truitt, God bless you. Thank you so much for the way you handled yourself and did everything that you did the other day. You come, and then anyone else that would like to share firsthand personal testimony of what happened, you come and take one of the microphones here, Brother Truitt.
As you could tell on some of the news programs there, I was trying to be as calm as possible and actually tried my best to reduce the sensationalism of this event. Especially with the media and just not knowing how they would sensationalize it, but it was a sensational event. Watching what happened and to see those things go up in the air, my first thoughts were we have a tragedy of just magnitude in scope. Several kids deposited all over the fields, possibly still in those balloons. I had never seen anything like it before. I told my family, I said, this is the news coverage we got, but I said, if there would have been cameras out here, this would have been on national news. It would have been on one of those, believe it or not, programs. You just don't expect to see what you saw there. Then comes the reality of it, I think. What happened next? As parents, staff, everyone just pulled together, concerned, helping out, doing everything they could, and then pockets here and there of just people praying, and teachers gathering their students together in the classroom praying, And you heard even Kathy talking about praying. And I think at the hospital, all you talked about was praying. And I believe a lot of people heard that there was a group here praying and asking God, Lord, would you take over? Would you be in charge here? And I believe a lot of people have seen God's hand and His protecting hand. Because from what I saw, the potential was for major disaster. As the pastor has already explained it, that we could be having a different day here. Instead of thankfulness and praising, it could have been much different. That's what's had an impact on me. To look back and just see the timing, just to see how Shonda's 3-year-old should have been on one of those, the one that got lifted up the highest, 50 feet or more, and carried all the way to the end of the baseball field. They didn't show that one, on the other side of the baseball field, and just deposited, just. And I thought they were on it. And they had just changed, and they were standing right in front of it, and another group was on their way, and they really should have been there by that time, and all those games should have been full of kids. Or if it had been 30 minutes later, it had been even more down there, as the rest of the elementary kids had been there. And I don't believe it would have mattered whether it had been kindergarten, elementary, or 200-pound high school kids. It wouldn't matter. Whoever it was, they would have been lifted up and deposited on the ground. So I look back and I can definitely see. I don't know why. I don't know if any of us could answer why this happened. Can I look back and see God's hand and God's protection? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I believe every parent would say that. Without a doubt, you can see God's protection. Shonda, back there, you were there. You said you can see God's hand protecting. So the next step is knowing how God works through Scripture and knowing how God works in a lot of things that happen in His Word and a lot of tragedies that happen here. I know that God works through all things. And He uses all things for His will, for His purpose, for His plan. And it may be different for what He has for me. For me to learn from this, what He's saying to me, it may be different. I've already talked to some of the board members saying they're sharing what God's saying to them about praying and praying for safety and for parents. God may be saying something different to you and for church members, but I believe God is wanting to say something to us, if anything, just to see that He is a mighty, powerful, in charge, worthy to be praised God that is actively involved in our lives. And then on an individual basis, I believe He will have a lot of other things to say. I think He wants us to look at this and realize we do need to keep Him involved in our lives. We do need to look at what is really important in our lives. And some of the things that's going on sometimes that we may think is so important that takes our time and takes our energies and we get selfishly involved in, God may be saying, back off, get self out of the way. Don't let me have to use some tragedy to get your attention. And I'm not saying that just to, again, sensationalize it, but I believe we see it over and over and over again. God will use many things to get our attention. And I believe He got our attention, number one. I believe He protected us and showed His love for us at the same time. And now I believe, third, He's wanting to see some result. He's wanting to see something happen in our lives as a result of this. What it is, I'm not sure. As I said, I think it's going to be something different for everyone. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for Rachel Jones. She's still there in the hospital. I'm amazed that she's the only one there. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that some of these others have come home. I wasn't at first out there because I saw that there was people with those 7 kids that were laying on the ground. I was out there looking under those things and trying to pull them back to see who was still caught in them, who might be pinned under them. And I'm the type of person, I guess, that tries to stay calm in every situation, especially when the position you're in, you need to be the person that is calm. But I look back and it just frightens me. That was a frightening sight to see it happening. I know what God spoke to me about. I don't know if He wants me to share it with you. Yes, it does have to do with prayer. Yeah, it does. And I know how He's going to use this in my life. And I hope he uses this in our whole school and in our church. But more importantly, I hope he uses this in individual people's lives. Even those that did not have students out there. Those that had students who were not yet out on the field that could have been there. You know, I look at one of our students right there. You know, it's a big high school student. You know what? Wouldn't have mattered. It would just hit the ground a whole lot harder than those five-year-olds. We have a lot to be thankful for. God is real. God is involved. God is in control. God is involved in our lives. He wants, more than anything else, a relationship with us through His Son Jesus. And I believe He will use anything to get our attention. He is gracious. He is loving. And He was gracious to us. I'm not saying He caused this. I'm just saying I saw His hand. I saw His hand more than anything. I saw His loving hand. And I saw His protecting hand. So let God speak to you today. Pastor, I didn't want to do the message for you. Thank you for letting me talk. Continue to pray for us. I am thankful that the media didn't sensationalize it. I am thankful for the 7 parents. As I went around to each of those at the hospital Friday, just amazed at their testimony, their attitudes. Not what you would expect from the world would not expect it. At any other event, at any other secular event, anything else, you would have been hearing totally different words about blame and pointing fingers. And this is amazing. You were hearing thankfulness, thanking God, thanking others. Even for the ones, the parents that are still up there in the hospital right now, if you would go talk to them, it would just blow you away to hear them talking about how God is in control and we're just so thankful. Just like the thank you card right there. Just amazed at the parents. So continue to be in prayer. God is wanting to do something. And He wants to do it in our lives. And He does want us to pray and be involved in this process.
I've never seen anything like this. He says, the best way I can explain it is on The Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy, that house, is picked up. And he said it was picked so pretty, straight up into the air. And then, as it turned, and he said, seeing those kids, 20, 30 feet, I don't know how high, but seeing them fall out of that and hitting the ground. Carol, would you come down, please, where everybody, and use the microphone where everybody can hear, please.
My class was on the way down there when we saw this, what I thought was a balloon and part of the program. But I didn't want to talk about that. I wanted to talk about Elena Williams, the teacher, Julie's mom. I spoke to her late last night, and she said to me, I said, how are you? And she said, I'm hurting from the top of my head to the tip of my toe. And then she said, no, that's not true. My toe doesn't hurt. She's badly bruised, and yet to hear her testimony, I wish you could hear her. Her children were such a testimony at that hospital. She said she went around to all, many of the nurses came to her and said they could not believe these children. She said, and this is one of Walina's things, her kids that come out of her class have manners. Every one of them, if they go in there learning, not saying yes, ma'am, no, sir, whatever, they come out of there, they don't miss a trick, and they could not believe that here they're asking their children what hurts, what doesn't hurt. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And they came to her, and they said none of them was crying. They were all very calm, and they all wanted to know about their friends, how they were, and they wanted to know how Mrs. Williams was. They were thinking of others, and I think that spoke to the medical people there as much as anything, that these are five-year-olds, and they're in pain, and yet they're wanting to know how their friends are, and they're wanting to know how their teacher is. And they came to Alina and said, we just can't believe this. We have never seen children like this who behave this way. And I think that's a real testimony to Alina and to our school.
Amen. All right. Brother Truitt, just hold that.
Let me add to that. Mrs. Williams would let the doctors even see her until she had gone around and made sure she saw all the kids. She was just determined she was going to see all the kids before she even worried about herself.
Amen. Somebody else, anybody else on this side that wants to say anything?
Well, my stomach gets in knots just thinking about what happened. And just sitting there, it was rumbling. But as I look at little Emily and I see she's okay, I'm humbled. I just have to lift my hands to a holy God.
Amen.
And say thank you. But I like Truett. I've never, ever seen anything quite like that. I was beside him. He was grilling, but I was warming my hands on the grill. And so we returned the way of where everything started happening. But you heard something to begin with. And so our eyes focused on all these things going up in the air. And Alice Coates, first of all, I'm jumping ahead, but the you could actually see the moonwalk, and it went like double higher than the high school building, and then it slammed into our softball field. And it was really like a believe it or not. And we started screaming. If you know me, you know I was screaming. And then Alice Coates, I'll never forget her words, always be in my head. She said, "Oh my God, our children are in there." And from that moment on, it was like it was in slow motion, everything. And we all started running down the field in slow motion. It was like, and it was amazing. God had everybody in place that he wanted in place. He had cell phones in place. And the first little girl that I got to was, and I don't see her mom here, but she wasn't moving. She was just laying there. And then, as you spoke her name, she did move her little head. And so you knew that she was okay. And then the next one was Emily and Ivy, and they were right there together. And like I said, God had so many people right in place to have a cell phone that grandmas and moms could be called and that they could get there before the ambulances left. And I just, like I said, I am amazed that I don't know why God allowed it, but I do know God protected us. And let's remember what he did and just give praise to a mighty God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I will say something. I'm going to try really hard to get through it. I was walking down with my three-year-old, and we were standing right there next to the slide, and Mrs. Williams had just said to me, "We're going to get off of here and go over there to the moonwalk, and you guys can come and be on here." And I said, I don't really think that they could handle that right now. I said, "They're so little, I'd have to go down with them, and I'm not quite ready to do that yet." So I said, "We'll go over to the moonwalk, and we'll get in there, and I'll get them used to it first." And then I was telling some this morning, Truett had asked me yesterday morning if I had seen the people that were standing in front of this slide and what had happened to them. And I realized this morning why I hadn't seen that, because as we were walking by, just as I had finished my conversation with Walina, the soccer goal behind me that was made out of steel posts picked up and came toward me. I turned around and I scooped my kids behind me. And then that's when I realized, as I turned around and I saw the slide go up. And it was like, I told people, I said, it was like I was standing there watching a television show, the freakiest things that have ever happened. And as the slide went up, and it was so pretty. I mean, the slide just popped right up out of the air, and I thought, huh, there were children inside of there. I wonder where they are. And about that time, the slide flipped over, and five little bodies came falling right out of it. And I didn't ever even thought about the seven little people that were sitting behind me looking at this. I just ran to do what I knew I had to do. And I have to give Linda Loach credit, because she trained all of us in first aid. And she said, you just don't think about it. You go up there, you assess the situation, you find out what's going on. And that's exactly what happened. I walked up there, and I didn't think about what I was doing. I just started looking at kids. Okay, you're breathing, you're okay.
about that time, about five more people came running up, and I finally was able to stop and realize what I had just seen in front of me. But I never really grasped the severity of it until yesterday morning when I called Truett to find out how he was. And he told me, he said, "I was so worried about your three-year-old." He said, "I didn't know where they were." And I said, "At that time, neither did I." But he said, "The moonwalk that we were about to go on went up the highest." And he said, "I was afraid that we were going to find three-year-olds scattered throughout the field." And I'm telling you, for 8 hours, I'm their mama. And when I thought that my little ones were in trouble, my mama instincts kicked in, and it was overwhelming to think that I could have lost all of my little babies too. But after it was all over, I knew all the kids' names, and so I was the one who wrote down all their names and their ages, and I got all their addresses and everything that they needed. And when it was over, I walked over to the woman who was in charge of Kathy's Rock, and she said, "I need all the names and the ages of the kids for my insurance purposes." And I sat down and started writing all their names and their ages, and she just stopped and shook, and she said, "Do you mean to tell me that there were babies up in there?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "They were only 5 years old." And she said, "I thought there were fifth and sixth graders up there." And I said, "No, ma'am, they were just little ones." But when my pastor came out and we all gathered in a circle and he began to pray, this overwhelming peace came over me. The calmness and the comfort in his voice just came over me. And God told me, "You know what? They're in my hands. And it's okay. And they're going to be okay." And I just thank God for this man who was there to comfort and to calm us when we needed him. And I went up that night to see two of the little ones, Ivy and Rachel, who had been admitted. And I had dealt with Rachel more because I knew her and I wanted to keep her still. I knew that she had the brunt. She had taken the brunt of the fall. I believe that she was probably at the top. I can tell you in what order they fell because as I replay it, I can remember how they fell out of there. And as I looked at her and she just kind of looked up at me, and Joan said, "You know, you're the first one that she's really shook her head at and talked to because she recognized me." And I got down in her face and I told her, I said, "You know, Miss Shonda loves you. And I said, you're going to be okay." And her mother stood there like a rock. And I looked at her and said, "Joan, how can you do this? This is your baby lying here." And she goes, "You know what?" She said, "When I got there and I saw her," she said, "I just prayed right there." And she said, "God, she's not mine anyway. You've given her to me and I've given her back." And she said, "God gave me such a peace to know that she was in his hands." And I told her, I said, "That was the best testimony to me," as I stood there and looked at this little girl who could barely speak because she was so doped up on morphine. And to see her lay there and smile at me, and that let me know that she was going to be okay. And I went home that night and people asked me, "You know, how did you go to sleep replaying that whole thing in your mind over and over again?" And I said, "You know what? I hit the pillow at midnight and I didn't wake up again until 6 o'clock. I had prayed that God would just help me to not replay that over and over in my mind. My mother is an EMT, and I called her and I told her what had happened. And of course, I bawled through the whole conversation. And she just looked at me, she just, over the voice, very comforting as a mother would do, she said, "Honey, you tell the story over and over and over again." She said, "Every person that asks you what happened, you go through the story and you tell it over and over." And she said, "You will find that the more you tell it, the more things that you will forget and the more things that will be more comforting for you to know, of things that you will remember, people that were standing there, people that were there to help you." She said, "Just keep telling the story over and over and over again." And it's true. As I tell it more and more, yesterday I didn't cry at all. Yesterday I thought, "I'm okay. I'm done crying." I walked in this morning. I drove up to the parking lot and the lump started. I walked in here. I saw everybody, and then I'm up in the choir, and Emily walked in, and that little girl scared me to death. And had I not known her, I wouldn't have known what to do. But when she just came back to me, I looked at her, I said, "Do you remember Miss Shonda beating on your back to make you breathe?" And she said, "I do." And I knew that Emily, when she reacts in pain, she holds her breath. And when I got to her, she was blue. And I beat on her back as hard as I could, and I said, "Emily, I want you to breathe, and I want you to breathe right now." And she went,
And she screamed, and I said, keep screaming, because I'm going to go to the next person. If I don't hear you scream, I'm coming back to beat on your back, okay? And I mean, I told all of that. I said, you just keep screaming, and that will tell me that you're okay. I know if you're screaming. And she told me this morning, she said, I remember you beating me on the back. I said, well, good, I'm glad, because that meant that I was doing what I was supposed to do. So, but I'm, like Truett, I'm just so thankful that God was there, because it really could have been worse. As I stood there and watched all those little bodies, and it, you know, kids are so great. I don't know if Patty Ann's going to come up and share. She had a really rough time with it. But when Maria went to bed that night, she told her mama, she said, you know, she said, I know that if I trust in Jesus, I don't have to be afraid. And she said, Mama, I'm going to trust in Jesus for everything, all the time. And I thought, you know, out of the mouths of babes come the most profound things. And I don't think that my children, seeing all of that, understood the severity of what had happened. I don't think that they realized that little bodies were falling out of that big balloon that was in the sky. When I got up to wake them up from their nap, they all looked at me and went, okay, are we going to the slides now? And I had more that were mad because they couldn't go to the slides. And I thought, you have absolutely no idea what has happened today. And I was really thankful. Because I thought, you know, whether God had blocked it out of their mind or whether they just really didn't understand, I was just very thankful that I didn't have to explain to a three-year-old what had just happened, and that they understood that I was okay and that everybody was going to be okay. And I'm just so thankful that God was there to protect them and to take care of them, and in many ways, you know, even to see Emily here today, you know, it's such a blessing to know that everyone's going to be okay. And that it probably could have been worse. I think if a bigger child would have fallen out of there, they would not have been as resilient as those five-year-olds were. Because I've heard paramedics say that five and six-year-olds can bounce back from things that we can't even as adults. And I think that if a fifth or sixth grader would have been up there, we would have had a lot more problems than we had. But because God made children so resilient, you know, some of them wanted to get up and just walk. And I kept going, honey, you can't get up and walk. You have to be still. And so I'm just so thankful that God has created us in the way that he has created us in the different stages of our life. And I'm just so thankful that there were people there. You know, I talked to Lynn later, and she said, you know, Shonda, there were four nurses on that field. And she said all four of them came running and knew exactly what to do. And she said that may not have happened. It just so happened that God put four nurses there that day to take care of what needed to be taken care of. And I just, you know, even as I remember things that happened, I see God's hand working and how wonderful his hand has been through that whole thing, and how, even though we see it as negative, I can also see so many positive things coming out of it. She called me yesterday. I shared this in my Sunday school class. Her daughter is a thrill seeker. And she said, when she got home, she said, Kristen, do you remember anything that happened? And she said, oh, Mama, that was the coolest thing in the world. She said, when that thing went up in the air and I was flipping, she said, that was the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. And she said, well, baby, how did it feel when you hit the ground? And she said, well, I don't think I want to do that again. But she said, it was really fun when I was up there in the air. And, you know, and I thought, well, I sure wasn't having fun watching them in the air. But, to hear how she interpreted it so differently than we did. And, and telling me that Friday night, her phone rang until 11 o'clock with people from Central Fellowship. She said, I didn't even know these people. And they were calling me saying, I work in the high school lunchroom, and I just wanted to tell you that we're praying for you and your daughter. And I said, you know, if anything good comes out of this, it's going to bring unity to us. Mm-hmm. And it's going to bring us together to be that prayer that we need to be for the children that we have. I know, you know, as a three-year-old teacher, sometimes, some days I have to go, okay, God, there's a reason you called me to do this. I'm sure of it. If you'll tell me today, I'll be okay. And then in times like that, I went back and woke up all my kids and I hugged every one of them and I said, I love you and I am so glad that you're okay. And it really made me stop and think of, you know, what life could have been if my kids had been on there, and what could have happened. And I'm so thankful that it didn't happen. Yes. I'm thankful that God's hand was there to protect them. Amen. And take care of them.
Amen.
Okay, fifth and sixth grade classes were over
going to the field for lunch when a little girl came around, a junior higher, said, Where's Mrs. Jones? Her daughter has been hurt. And, of course, I thought it was an isolated incident. And she said, she's bleeding at her mouth, you know. And so, of course, we were going crazy trying to catch up with Mrs. Jones. But by the time we got there, someone else had found Mrs. Jones. She was just ahead of us. And then when we got there, just to give a visual, if you recall the visual of 9/11, that's what it was like, small scale, one portion of 9/11. The people who saw it, like Shonda and another parent who saw it, she said, I was on the other side of the gym and I saw this go in the air and I saw bodies dropping. Made me think of 9/11, people seeing bodies falling from the building. That's what it looked like, a reenactment. So we were going up there just as it happened. So we were so concerned. And we still need to pray for those parents who saw it, like Shonda. They're having a lot of trauma from it. But as everybody has spoken, I just wanted to go see if Joan was okay because of her child, and that's the one I knew about. And so, of course, I walked up there and threw my coat on Rachel. I had the experience the day before with the little boy going to the hospital, and he's okay too. But anyway, we saw these groups of people praying together, of course, and we were still concerned. I had heard something about Rachel may not make it. You know, Rachel may die. So you'd hear different reports, and I just, you know, you just automatically want to be close by enough that if she didn't take the next breath, because, and then she finally started crying, and that was a wonderful thing that she was crying. But I noticed that the emergency room told us yesterday that they had, of course, I guess Stephen called, but others called as well. But Steve, her father, and Amanda happened to be working. They said doctors and nurses and surgeons were all in place just waiting. It's just like everything was just in place, you know, at that time, and it was really good. Of course, I had a parent who came and picked up her child from my room. I saw her 40 minutes earlier crying because she had seen it. She had no child involved in it, but she picked up her daughter, and she was still crying. And then I heard about a sixth grader whose parent was going to the lake. The dad was on his way to the lake, and he said, I don't want to go to the lake. I want to go see my daughter, and I want to hold her. Sixth grader, even though there was nothing. And one more thing I'll say is after our children went home, the elementary teachers got together and prayed. And I wish you could have heard Sean Saunders praying. You just have to hear him pray to appreciate it. But he just kept saying, oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you you knew exactly how far you would let this go, that you would not let Satan take these lives. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you that you are in control. We pray for Mr. Franklin now as he still is working. Mm-hmm. And his prayer was so encouraging because he prayed truth all throughout it. Mm-hmm. And thank you, dear Lord God, that you are in control and that you are controlling things on this campus. So what a blessing to end the day that way. What an encouragement.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Can I say?
Yes, sir.
I'll do it real quick.
Okay.
You've heard a lot today, and you've heard a lot from me already, and a lot of things that we're going to remember, a lot of sights and sounds and things to remember, but probably the thing I'm going to remember most is after we'd gone through all that and then hung around for a little while getting some things together and then finally went up to the hospital to see all the parents and the kids there and then come back. And that last interview was 41 at 5:30 and taking care of some things here in the office and reflecting. And then pretty much after everybody had gone, walked through the whole elementary, every door, every room, kind of locking up, and went down to high school and double-checking there. And by the way, whoever locked up the high school building and everything, it was the most secure I've ever found it, so good job. And I walked out the back door and went over to the field, and it was already dark. And just right out in the middle of the field there, and God just brought me to my hands and knees. And I know what he did and how he used this with me. And that's what I'll remember more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, my mother and my dad lost a 5-year-old just a month and a half before I was born. And it was in a tragic way. And I have often tried to imagine what my young 28-year-old mother was going through. And there's nothing in this world that affects us any more than our children. Nothing can affect us any more than our children. And God has directed me to His Word. And I immediately thought about a man by the name of Job. And give me 5 or 10 minutes of your attention and stillness, and we'll be through. The Bible tells us that Job had his servants come and say to him, a whirlwind has blown the house over where your kids are, and they're all dead. And I'll not take time to read all the portion of Scripture, but remember, a whirlwind is something invisible, something powerful, and something destructive and deadly. But just look up at the screen at verse number 20. This is what he did as soon as he found out they were dead. He arose, he tore his clothing, he rent his mantle. He shaved his head as a sign of mourning, and he too fell down on the ground. But do you understand that last two words? And worshiped. And worshiped. Someone who does not know God does not understand that. But someone who knows God and is close to God and knows that God is a good God, and know that God makes no mistake, and that God does not allow anything that does not come through His permission. Only a person who knows all that could do what he did. He worshiped. But it goes on. You know, what comes out of people's mouths reflects what's in their heart. What would you have said just hearing your kids were all gone? The next verse says this, verse 21. This is what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And he said, the Lord, He's the giver. He's the giver. He gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know God that good? Are you that intimate with the Lord that you know He's the one that gives life? He's the one that gave you your babies. He's the one that's given you your grandbabies. He gives. And if it is His choice, through His divine mind and mystery and will, to allow them to be taken from us, then blessed be the name of the Lord. People came to Him and said, what do you mean saying that? And He said, can I not receive good from the Lord and also receive bad from the Lord? If it's from the Lord, I've got to receive it and accept it and believe that all things work together for good to them that know the Lord. That's why you don't ever want to forget the first three words of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together. And then the last verse I want you to see, verse 22. And I highlighted those first three words. In all this. I mean, there was a lot of tragedies in that first chapter. I just mentioned his children. There's other tragedies, but just his children, because that's the most magnified to me. Think about that. In all this, in all of that heartache and tragedy and loss, He sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Do you know what it means to charge God? It means I charge you. You're the reason for this. You let this happen. I hate you. I thought I could trust you. I hate you for letting this happen. You could have stopped it. He didn't do that. He did not charge God as a fool does. A fool is one who lives as if there is no God. They talk like that. This is what we got to do this morning. Are your ears perked up? Are you listening? Does God have your attention? This is what He's saying you got to do this morning. Number one, give glory to God. Number two, give thanks to God. Number three, humble ourselves before the Lord. Number four, turn from our wicked ways. Give glory to God. Thank God. Humble yourself. Turn from your sin. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask everybody in this building this morning to do those four things. Right now, give glory to God. In your heart, in your spirit right now, give glory to God. Number two, in your heart and in your spirit right now, give thanks to God. And don't just say thank you that it wasn't worse. Just thank Him. Even if it had been tragic. He says to give thanks in all things, not meaning that you're thankful it happened, but you have a heart of thanks to God, the giver of life. Thank Him. This is going to make us better people. It's going to make us better parents. It's going to make us better teachers, better administrator, better people. Better preacher. Thank you, Lord. And then humble yourself. If you're physically able, get on your knees right now. If you're physically able and you want to humble yourself, if you don't want to humble yourself, do not get on your knees. Getting on your knees is a symbol of submission and humbling yourself before Him. And if you're not physically able, Lord understands that in your heart, get on your face before Him. And then can I ask you, would you please, please, please turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your sin. You know that there's things in your life that's not right. In your heart right now, picture yourself turning from that and turning to the Lord. Now, what did God say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and not before. Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll heal their land, forgive their sin, and heal their land.
Freedom, 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 fre
been listening to the Central Fellowship Hour, coming to you from Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, in the heart of Georgia. Central Fellowship is on Highway 247 between Macon and Warner Robins. Dr. Rodney Queen is the senior pastor and sincerely appreciates your response. Address your letter to Central Fellowship, 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, Georgia, 31206. That's 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, 31206. If you'd like to call, it's 478-781-2981. That's 478-781-2981. Or visit them online at centralfellowship.org. Join Pastor Queen and the assembly at Central Fellowship Baptist Church this same time next week, right here on the Central Fellowship Hour.